You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who thinks chickens dream of one day being pot pies, Pete Schwabba.
That is not true. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Nightlight. You are just in time for hour three, or act three as we call it. If you missed the first 2 hours of the show, they are available in podcast form at civicmedia.us. We talked to Greg Pragel, a professor of acting at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, in hour number one. They have a great spring show coming up that starts next weekend. And I implore you, if you live in these areas where colleges put on these outstanding productions, take advantage. You've got theater right in your own backyard, and all are welcome. So check that out. In hour number two, we talked to my pal Norm Kopeski, who is one of the owners of Appleton Cigar, about a really cool event they have coming up. They play, they have Agnerosa Cigars coming in, an event on February 25th. They've got guitar and cigars on March 11th. Every Monday they have cribbage tournaments. Every Tuesday they have Texas Hold'em tournaments. And they play Cards Against Humanity over cigars and booze occasionally. It is a blast. I still have to get down there for Cards Against Humanity. But check it out and let us know what you think, because Appleton Cigar is a great hang. And then... right before the break, we were talking to our pal Daniel Wheeler. He is a local artist and actor and filmmaker who made the popcorn pick of the week. And this week's pick was Safety Not Guaranteed, a film that stars Aubrey Plaza, and it's a comedy drama. And he loves it. That is his pick. I highly recommend checking it out because he has outstanding taste. And our question of the night is, what is your favorite sauce? Tomorrow is National Tartar Sauce Day. Let me know what kind of sauce. Well, what's your go-to sauce? What's your favorite kind of sauce? That's tonight's question. Very simple. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app, or if you are watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X, you can drop us a stream comment, and I will read it on the radio, and you will officially be part of tonight's show, which is always exciting. We are going to get to your text in just a few minutes. Right now, we have a couple more minutes with my pal Daniel Wheeler, who agreed to stick around because, in addition to making the popcorn pick of the week and talking about this film he plays the lead role in, a short film called Daniel Needs to Leave, being accepted into the Wisconsin Film Festival, which, by the way, if I could get a plug in for, we talked about Madison at the beginning of the show. Do you remember that, Zommers?
Yes, we did.
Okay, I thought you would.
I have at least, you know, my short-term memory is not great, but it does last at least 2.5 hours.
I know, but the threads you're wearing, the swimwear, the retro, I didn't know what was going on.
It's not kind of swimwear, psychedelic. But...
beachwear, I guess.
Yeah, beachwear for sure.
But we talked, Aaron and I talked about Madison and how he lives there. I've never lived there. It's one of my favorite cities in the world. Even back when I was a stand-up comic, I loved going to Madison. The Wisconsin Film Festival, if you're looking for a reason to go to Madison, is an outstanding place just to spend some time, see some movies. The guys that program it are cinephiles. They also program UW Cinematheque, which is free. They have great events there. And the Wisconsin Film Festival is one of my favorite times of the year, typically around April. And I always enjoy going there. I've given out awards. I've hosted Q&As. Great group of people and a great lineup of films year after year. So Daniel Needs to Leave will be in this year's Wisconsin Film Festival in one of the shorts blocks. Highly recommend that as well. Daniel, congrats on that. But you also have news on another film you made, I think. Can you tell us something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So very happy to say that The Voice in the Vessel, a short film that we made this past summer, is going to be in a couple festivals coming up. Beverly Hills Film Festival.
Very nice.
It's going to be playing, yeah, in Hollywood there. And Jason Buss, the lead actor and one of the producers on the film, is going to go there, represent, and watch it at the TCL Chinese Theater there.
Oh, so, wow. How fun. Wait a minute. Yeah. Why is he... Did you guys draw straws and you got the short straw? What happened there?
No. To be fair, I don't have an interest in doing that, and not to sound above it, but I'm trying to save up money for my next film, and I also it's just not my scene. I'm very happy for Jason to be able to go there to see himself on the screen there. Kind of rub elbows with some of the Hollywood over there. It also has gotten accepted into the Midwest Weird Fest out in Eau Claire.
That's so fun.
Yeah. And the Last Witch in Wisconsin was in that last year, and I went out there, and it's a fun time. Dean Bertram is the director of that, and he puts together a really great show. So if you like weird oddities,
That's so cool. Well, those are two great, they both sound up your alley in different ways. I mean, the Beverly Hills Film Festival is a film festival, as you said, right in Hollywood, and you get to show it, and probably the people that go are film savvy, so that's exciting. And then Eau Claire as well. I just love the title of that. That sounds right up your alley as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Midwest Weird Fest. That's great.
That's excellent. So before I let you go, have you seen the film Iron Lung?
Yes. And I was kind of prepping to talk about that if we did.
Shoot me straight. What did you think?
Yeah. I thought a half hour too long. I think 90 minutes would have made it real nice, real compact. That extra half hour of drips on the pipes, probably didn't need that. I loved the claustrophobia of it. I love the lore behind this. I mean, I remember when that game came out, I didn't play it, but it was kind of a very cool independent game. I liked the idea of how the game played. But I'm like, wow, he made a whole movie about this. This is like one, submarine capsule. How is he doing that? And they did pretty well. They lost me on some stuff. I don't know if there was too much audio crashing and, visions and gods and blood. Am I dying to see it again? Not really. Big hats off to Mark Pellier and what he did by just going right to the theaters. And I'm very happy for the success. Maybe it will kick Hollywood in the butt and they'll stop making sequels and live action this and that.
I don't disagree with you. I'm happy for the success of the film just by the nature of how it was done independently, pretty much. Someone footed that bill and it had huge returns. I just didn't like it. It was so dark and uncinematic. And I agree with you. I thought an hour and 20 and add some dialogue and add some plot points. It was it seems like something people want to like, and I want to like it, but I don't know. Somers, your turn.
That's fair.
I
mean,
yeah, I think I'm pretty much entirely with Daniel on this one, especially with the whole sound thing. Like, I think if they had some other, professional mixer for movies or something, go over it one more time, especially for that last 20 minutes of the movie. For most of the movie, you don't really know what's going on. And then they try to sort of explain some of it, but there's people talking over each other and they all have different effects on their voices. And if it wasn't in surround sound at a theater, you'd have no chance of understanding it. In surround sound at a theater, you catch a few words. I know you're supposed to be a little disoriented, but I think it was a little more than they intended.
There was no soul to it either. I wanted a contemplative moment where, the world ended, the stars are gone. They kind of didn't have any fun with that. It was like, well, everything's over and here's why I'm in a blood ocean. Okay, well, can you take it to a different gear? It was like him yelling at the woman, what's happening? Blah, blah. It was such a whiff to me. And it had the opportunity. I mean, they got something made. I felt like in some cases, I don't like when studios overdevelop things. That could have used a little development, something going on there. But again, I applaud the effort.
I don't know a lot about what went behind it. You know, I know Mark Plear is an old school YouTuber, yeah, a lot of people, followers, so he footed the bill. I think he did. But how big his production team was, I don't know.
Right.
To star in it, you know, that's ballsy. Can I say that?
Yeah, sure.
So,
<Too late. laughs> No, you're
but,
fine.
But no, I agree. I kind of lost me away. You know, is there some celestial gods? Or is there just these monster angler fish? Was it both of them?
Yeah, and they were pictures or something. Like, it was just a weird, I don't know, whatever.
I liked when he went up to the surface and communicated through the porthole. I could have gone.
Yeah.
I could have definitely dove back in more into this flashbacks of his dad and what, you know, why he became a convict. I think they could have had a little more backstory, less submarine.
Exactly. And he was fine. It wasn't like he was a bad actor, but I think the script could have been a lot, or whatever there was of a script could have been a little more fleshed out. And, you know, it's such a delicate, weird balance because you don't want to overdevelop something. You don't want to silence a new raw voice. But at the same time, the guy doesn't know how to make them, or it just didn't get there. I'm surprised it got the reviews it did. Frankly, it was like barely fresh, maybe on Rotten Tomatoes. But I mean, it could have been, I don't know, whatever. I'm glad you saw that, though. I was excited to ask you about that. My friend, thank you so much for your time tonight. Great pick, and congrats on all the success with your various projects. Keep them coming and keep us posted.
I will. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, you got it. That's Daniel Wheeler, folks. Danny Wheels, as I affectionately call him, and he seems okay with it, and I'm glad about that because I think he could probably take me in a fight. So anyway, we have some text to get to. Zomers, where are we at on text? Are we doing okay?
We've got a few to read.
We've got Matt in Eau Claire, who this was in our, I think he sent this during our discussion with Professor Greg Pragle. He says, interesting show. Dad taught technical theater at UW Eau Claire. Thanks for the memories. You got it, Matt. Thanks for listening. Matt also says, I never saw humor in Shakespeare until I saw my father's direction of Romeo and Juliet. I love that we awaken this memory in Matt. That's so cool.
I also texted him back after that. The thing that taught me that Shakespeare was supposed to be funny is the line in, I believe it was Romeo and Juliet, where they said, Tybalt, you saucy boy. I'm like, okay, this is supposed to be funny. There's no way it's not.
Right. I had that discussion, and sometimes it's so funny when people try to show anger. My writing partner, Greg Leon, and I used to go back and forth. He hated rock and roll. He only liked crooners. And I said, rock and roll is raw emotion, like anger. He's like, well, there's anger in crooners when they sing. And I go, like what? He goes, well, the song You Rascal You. I'm like, okay, that's not really the same thing. Bridget in the 818 says, pesto. Oh, pesto sauce. Perfect, Bridget. Thank you. She says, a family favorite on pasta or sandwiches. Yummy. Chris from the 773, but lives in Sun Prairie, says, if we're talking about homemade sauces, mole is my favorite by far. I could have had that on any Central or South American cuisine, but if we are talking manufactured sauce, my guilty pleasure is Chick-fil-A sauce. Don't judge me. Never, Chris. I've been known to put back some Chick-fil-A sauce. You like that stuff, Summers?
I've never been to Chick-fil-A.
It's overhyped. I'm not going to lie. It's not bad, but it's not Popeyes, you know? And I think it needs a little sauce, to be honest. They pride themselves on, well, the patty's so great, you don't need sauce. Wrong. Next. You need sauce. You have it, your own Chick-fil-A sauce. Chris says, favorite hot sauce, Dave's Insanity Sauce. We'll finish up some text next. Mike Schmidt is coming up. Don't miss this, folks. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. I remember there was a radio was coming from the room next door. My mother laughed the way some ladies do.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started. Get down, get down, get down, get down, get
down, get down, get down, get down, get down, get down. So you're saying get down? Okay. I'm on it. Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. I am Pete Schwabba, and we are jamming through Act 3 here, folks. It's been a lot of fun. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite sauce? Tomorrow is National Tartar Sauce Day. It's about time. Such a fine sauce had its own day. But tell us what your favorite sauce is, and we will read your text on the radio. I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. We need to get right to it because I never have enough time with this guy, but he is one of my favorite comedians in the world, and he is the host of the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast, which you should definitely check out. Joining me now is Mike Schmidt. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Pete Schwab, how are you, friend?
Doing very well. We have a lot to talk about.
Do we?
We do. Well, I have a lot I always want to ask you, and I always love your responses, so I never run out of stuff to bring up to you.
Well, let me stop you there.
Yeah.
Because in addition to the things you have planned, I had no idea it was National Tartar Sauce Day tomorrow. I'm stunned and shocked. Does this tie in with Lent? Do I have to get tartar sauce cross on my head? Or how does this work?
Well, this is actually an intervention. We wanted to let you know. A little lemon and tartar sauce and your cod. You can't go wrong, Mike.
What do you do by noon on tartar sauce day? You're out. You're out of options. You can't eat it all day. I mean, you can't eat it. Maybe on breakfast you put it on. You get a fish omelet, a nice fish omelet. A little tartar. Because tartar sauce is only a fish. It's a fish-only sauce. Let's be honest.
I don't think it's a full day. I don't think you can eat it before noon on anything unless you want to be regurgitating.
Well, in certain states, I know that's against the law. I mean, it's like the drive-in liquor store and then the no liquor on Sundays, and certainly no tartar sauce before noon. Is it at least 15 states?
Correct. So you introduced me to, I think it was you, to Jack in the Box tacos, and you called them the best bad food you can possibly buy. And they had a good sauce, Mike. Are you a sauce guy by nature? Do you have a favorite sauce?
You know, I was never a sauce guy for the longest time. And the pandemic twisted me into a sauce person all of a sudden. And I thought it was because I needed sustenance. I'm like, if anything goes truly bad and I'm locked down and I have to eat rats or whatever, I got to have something to put on it.
Have some sauce.
Right? You can't just choke down a dry rat. So I got to get something in here. And so there's a local taco joint called Pablito's, and they make their own. And I'm not a hot sauce dude. Like, I was never a hot food guy. I'll just say this. Big Snack. All right. Whoever's in charge of Big Snack, stop trying to kill me.
Big Snack.
I just want chips. I don't need extreme with three X's in my chips or my porn. All right. But the porn people can wait. I'll talk to the snack guys now. I'm just trying to have lunch, man. Don't try to murder me with your nonsense. I don't get it.
It puts pressure on you when you're eating it. It's like, I think I should be enjoying this more based on the title of the food.
And I'm also susceptible to that kind of nonsense. Like, I went to Norm's, which is a diner out here. You're familiar with Norm's.
Yeah.
And they had a hot foot. It's true. I ate their steak and eggs, which was, $4 for whatever meat was. And I choked that down. And then they're like, on their menu, they got a dessert. It was like a brownie hot fudge sundae with 4 scoops of ice cream. And the first line was, "We dare you to finish this brownie with ice." And I'm like, well, you're talking to the wrong guy. Bring it now. Because I can't, I'm like a bender in Breakfast Club. No, yeah, whatever. Just bring it to me. And I had food poisoning from that. And I lost like 13 pounds in 2 days, which was great. I recommend it if you want to lose 13 pounds.
It's a good way to keep the weight up. So they're kind of on your side. It sounds like they're trying to kill you, but you dropped 13.
Yeah. That's not, but if you ever want to just go ahead and lose a little weight, go into a Norm's at 3 a.m. and order anything they dare you to finish. And I guarantee you'll come out in 3 days feeling clean and empty. Because someone had to come to my house, and I couldn't even leave a key under the mat. They had to get the manager to let him in to take care of me. I was lying in a pool of sweat.
Go check on that guy. Mm-hmm. Where are you at with Robert Duvall? Sad passing, but 95, not that sad. That's a good run with a lot of success. I'm sure he earned his life for sure. But do you have a favorite role or thoughts on his career overall?
Well, a better passing than Hackman's, that's for sure. I mean, Hackman's lying in a pile of dust getting eaten by monsters in his house, and his wife dies and all whatever that. Think of that house of horrors when you stumble into it. Hey, there's one of America's greatest artists. Yeah. One of America's greatest artists and the person he loved more than anyone in the world. And they're just in a pile on a dirt covered floor being chomped on by wildlife. Oh, grim. What a terrible ending.
He deserved a better ending.
Right? Don't you think a better checkout? And look, I implore all of you big stars. If you know you're on your way out, go move somewhere where people can find you. Get out of your New Mexico squatters area and please get into a Waldorf Astoria where they can bring you some sort of soup and try to keep you alive a little longer and you die in a comfortable bed.
Even a basic old folks home. Where
that's all.
We got one down the road here in Wisconsin. He would have died a more noble death.
somewhere where someone has eyes on you. That's all that matters.
Right.
You know, that's it. That thing where, hey, we haven't heard from Hackman in about 3 months. We should check on him, right? And then, oh, forget about it. The family pet is full of Hackman. It's a terrible thing. It's, I mean, 95 yeah. Great life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's weird, isn't it, that these guys that we love are going? And I start looking at the age of some dudes, and I'm just like, oh, my Christ. Like, I you know, again, Redford, we lose Redford.
Yeah.
We lose Hackman. We lose Duvall all in this past year. And it's, you know, Pacino has got to be looking around, head on a swivel, not knowing what's going on. Some guy with a scythe is going to show up. You know what I mean? These dudes. And they've all lived amazing, wonderful, incredible lives.
Yeah.
And 95 is a long run, man. That's good. And what great work.
With phenomenal success. Yeah.
Oh, dude. And but also great. You know what I mean? Just yeah. Not even success. I'm endlessly fascinated by great. Like, I see it, and I'm also endlessly angry at myself that I'm not great. You know what I mean? So you seek it out. I'm being honest. I just you seek it out when you try to find things that are great because you want to marinate in it. And any Duvall role, I just watched, you know, I watched The Outfit. I just watched that recently.
I just watched that 2 nights ago, Mike. When he died, I'm like, I want to go to a movie of his I haven't seen yet.
No.
And I watched it. I swear to God, 2 nights ago.
I read it because Tarantino, in his cinematic, his book that he wrote, he covers certain movies, and The Outfit's one of them. And I watched, and he's, because you get him in The Godfather, and he's kind of, you know, and Tom Hagen is he reacts.
Yeah.
He reacts to Michael. He does what he's told. He's a strong presence, but he's there to facilitate. In The Outfit, he's driving the action.
Right.
And he's tough.
Let's hold that. Let's pick up right there. I want to hear your thoughts on this film because I just saw it too. I loved it. Mike Schmidt is here, folks. We are talking Bad Guys We Love and Robert Duvall. It's Pete Schwab at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type, make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm the bad guy.
Oh, I like that. Well done, Zarmus. I thought that was, like, at first a weird take on the milkshake song you said you couldn't play last time, but that'll work. Hey, welcome back to Nightlight, folks. We are in the home stretch here, and what better guy to be with us right now than the very funny comedian and podcast hoster of the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast, Mike Schmidt, joins us now. Thanks for being here, Mike.
Thanks for having me. Always happy to be asked.
Yeah. You've got, we kind of promoted this like we were going to talk about likable movie bad guys, and I know you're a big fan of the bad guys. You're a huge Tarantino fan. Are any of the bad guys from Tarantino films, or are they kind of spread out? Who are your favorite likable movie bad guys?
Well, first of all, The Outfit is an amazing movie. We're going to talk about that really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Duvall is, he plays him and his brother rip off the mob, and then Duvall goes to prison, but his brother doesn't. And Joe Don Baker's involved. And look, anytime you say Joe Don Baker's involved, that's your money in the bank. How are you not watching that? Right. Give that 2 hours, right? In addition to Duvall. But I recommend it to everybody. It's like, because I went on a binge of crime movies where I watched Point Blank with Lee Marvin and The Outfit. And because, like I said, in Tarantino's book, he would talk about certain movies and kind of, you know, deep dive on them. And that made me want to see them then, which I had not seen.
Yeah.
Rolling Thunder, stuff like that. Bill Devane, and, you know, interesting. And the book's great. You should read it. Cause you were the one who made me read, Easy Rider's Raging Bulls.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, you were the one who recommended it, and I devoured it, and I love it so much. And so the Tarantino book is like that, in that he I just, again, I'm in the tank for him, but I mean, he uses language so well, and his opinions are, to me, are really interesting. And he mixes in anecdotes from his youth in discovering these movies, and then also does deep dives critically on the movies. It's great. It's a good book.
Wow. So what was your take on, like, I liked The Outfit a lot because I miss movies where it's not high concept. It's just these two dudes and it's their adventure and nothing crazy. There's not a huge twist. It's just a story about two characters that you kind of get behind. Even if you don't like them, they're interesting.
Yeah. Two guys with revolvers doing crimes. You know what I mean? Nobody has a Tech 9 or an AR-15. There's no drone. It's just two dudes sneaking in a side door and knocking over a bookie. You
know? Yeah. Like, and not only that, Mike, like what you just said reminded me, like there was a little bit of, honor among thieves. Like there's one scene where they go in and The guy he was after, Menner, I think was his name or something. Mm-hmm. He's at a poker table, and since he hurt this other guy's finger, Duvall shoots the guy in the hand, like kind of an eye for an eye. They don't just whack him for no reason. Like, these guys would let people off the hook if they thought they didn't deserve horrible luck.
Pete, this thing of ours, you have a code, and you perform by the code. They're not just maniacs. You know,
that's why
you get the drugs and you give it to the people on the streets, because they're animals anyway. So let them lose their souls, as they said in The Godfather.
Right.
But the mafia, they consider themselves a level above. They're just there. It's just business, man. They're just taking care of business.
And I love the end mic of that movie of The Outfit, because I didn't see it coming. You know,
yeah.
And I don't want to spoil it for anyone who wants to watch it. $3.99, I think I paid on Amazon. But it was good.
I waited so long for it to stream for free, because I'm like, when, and finally I just bought it. I was like, forget it. But it's funny, because the character he plays in that is a guy named Parker, I believe, I could be wrong. Okay. No, you know, I'm thinking the Point Blank is Lee Marvin is Parker. And I don't know if, because Parker's been in several different movies. It's a character that's been from novels.
Oh.
But they used him in several different movies. Did you ever see Payback with Mel Gibson? He's Parker.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. So, and the character, and it's funny, there was just an Amazon, unfortunately. Last year, Amazon did a Parker movie, and Mark Wahlberg was Parker. And Lakeith Stanfield was in it, too, who's a brilliant actor. And I was like, all right. And Shane Black wrote it. Shane Black wrote it. So I was like, and the day it premiered, I watched it at midnight. I'm like, you know what? I'm Shane Black, I'm in. And Parker, and I'll even with Wahlberg, I'll give it a shot. And it's a stiff, but honestly, Wahlberg does a decent job of being this amoral kind of guy with a code, and which was shocking. I thought he'd be the weak link, but then everything around him. And I love Shane Black. I mean, you know, Lethal Weapon and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and the long good Kiss Goodnight. I mean, he's incredible.
Charmed showbiz life. Yeah. You mentioned Rolling Thunder, kind of the same thing. No high concept. Like, I'm waiting for this big ending. These two dudes just going to start blowing people away.
Yeah, forget it.
There's like
gonna kill
no
everybody
writing
in the room.
Or thought. Yeah, it's just like, okay, and then you guys go in and kill everybody. Okay, we can do that.
Well, look, if someone takes your hand and shoves it in a garbage disposal, you're not going to go in for negotiating at the end of the movie. You're going to go in with one gun blazing because you can't hold two.
I mean,
it's, you know, and it's, I love those kind of movies from the early 70s. You watch those kind of grimy. What's the Elliot Gould, Philip Marlowe movie? Boy, is it great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can't pull the name of it, and it's just phenomenal. You know, the Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 with Walter Matthau. Like, all those 70s movies you watch, and you're like, wow, these are great. You know what I watched? I hadn't seen, there's two movies, seminal moments in Mike Schmidt's life. A movie called Guide for the Married Man, which is this just kind of Love American style series of vignettes with like Jack Benny and everybody, right? It stars Walter Matthau and Robert Morse, and Walter Matthau wants to cheat on his wife, and Robert Morse tries to teach him how with a bunch of flashback vignettes, Lucille Ball, Art Carney, like all these people. And it's incredible. It's like I remember being a kid watching it and thinking it was naughty because I was watching an adult movie with like jokes I didn't get, but laughing because I loved it. It was really great. And then I also just recently watched a movie called Pretty Maids All in a Row.
Hmm.
And that is prime sexual awakening for certainly for me and probably for anybody who saw it at my age. Cause I'm watching it when I'm eight, you know, which is wrong.
Oh,
it's
I thought
on
you
cable
meant now.
No, now too. I don't care. Throw it on. It's Rock Hudson. And you know what, watching it at this age, Angie Dickinson is in it. And she's like a substitute teacher, but then she kind of seduces a student sort of because Rock Hudson tells her she should. It's a long story. It's a comedy mystery murder. Telly Savalas is a cop.
Oh, wow.
But watching it now, I see Angie Dickinson in that movie, and it brings me right back to being a kid and not knowing how I felt and why. But but also at the same time, it made me realize why I loved Pam Anderson so much when I got older.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because Angie Dickinson looks, I mean, it's wild. That kind of the lipstick, like the kind of the whitish light lip gloss lipstick and the
right.
Her hair. And Angie Dickinson is just stupid beautiful, like ridiculous beautiful. And again, she's seducing a kid, so you're just watching it when you're young, you're like, oh my god, that could happen to me maybe someday, who knows.
Angie Dickinson was so, I remember like my folks would have like police what was her show, Policewoman.
Yep.
And I'm watching it, and I don't even think I ever follow the story. I'm just like looking at this woman because she's so captivating. It's like she just stood out, like she's beautiful, but also her look, like you said at the time, was not a typical look.
Dressed to kill.
Yeah, exactly.
You're just staring at her, just going, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
So do you have a favorite, Mike? You like the bad guys in the movies. We've talked about the Tarantino films. Who is your favorite bad guy that you like in a movie, if you have one, or a few?
I have an email address, and every time I give it to somebody, they go, "Oh, Reservoir Dogs, huh?" Mr. Blonde is in my email, one of my email address that I've had for the one I've had for 25 years.
Nice.
And he's it. I mean, he was the character when I saw that movie, when I watched Reservoir Dogs. As you know, it's my favorite movie of all time. I'm not saying it's the best movie I've ever seen, but it was the first time I ever saw a movie that made me think someone had made a movie just for me. It was the language, the tough guy stuff, all of it was great. And his character was phenomenal. I mean, I love, you know, we talked about Madsen last time I was here.
Yep.
But the character of Mr. Blonde is just, he was so malevolent and evil. And
soulless.
And also,
yeah,
but still though, but I'm on board. I was like, I was all for that. I think I told you, like, when I was a kid, you know, we get back to seeing those movies when I was a kid. I saw Thief in a theater when I was 13. I tell the story all the time. And it was like, that movie was my dad. Cause I was like, I didn't have a dad. So I was like, well, that's a pretty good way to be, to just like, nothing matters. And you could just walk away from everything and burn it all down if you have to, you know what I mean? Right. At 13, it seemed like a pretty good life philosophy. And he's not a good guy either, Frank. And so he's another one I would put on my list of bad guys in a movie that I love. Hans Gruber, of course, Die Hard. You know, that's a ridiculous.
How about the Joker? For him. Heath Ledger.
Boy, without a doubt, Heath Ledger. I mean, you watch that movie again. I don't know when the last time you saw it was, but if you watch it again, he's you can't stop watching him. You can't. Everything he does is perfect.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's one of those things where you're like, And then, you know, the backstory, and he kind of got lost himself in the role and all those sorts of things. Well, it worked. I mean, because when you watch him, he's not goofy. Like a lot of times, he was the first time that the Killing Joke Joker, there's a comic book that's very famous called The Killing Joke. And in it, like, the Joker shoots Barbara Gordon in the hip and paralyzes her. Like, I mean, he's a monster. Huh. And it was the first time that sort of Joker was on screen. Before, it was always like, ha ha, he's kind of goofy to a certain extent. Even Nicholson doing bad, terrible things, but still with a wink and a smile.
Yeah.
And Ledger did it in a way where you were just like, this is my favorite. Again, my favorite thing is when he sees Harvey Dent in the hospital, and Harvey Dent wakes up and he just goes, hi, because he knows he killed his girlfriend. Right. And then he freaks out. And then the part where he starts giving him the speech, he's like, I'm a dog chasing cars. I wouldn't know what to do if I caught one. He goes, you know what I say? Inspire a little anarchy. And he puts the gun in Harvey Dent's hand. And Harvey Dent points the gun at him, and he goes, he has the coin, and he goes, heads, you live, tails, you die. And the Joker just goes, now we're talking. And it's that line alone, it defines the character. Because he wouldn't have cared. If he would have lost and died, he would have been fine. It's fantastic.
That's great. Mike Schmidt is my guest. He is the host of the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast, a must listen, and a very funny comedian as well. Mike, we've got a break in about 3 minutes, then we'll have about 3 minutes after. Can we squeeze in some Oscar talk? Where are you at with the Best Picture nominees, Best Actor, Best Actress?
Yeah, I'd love to. Absolutely. I don't have a list in front of me, so you're going to have to run me through, but I, you know.
Well, what have you seen, like, in terms like Sinners, One Battle After Another? You mentioned Marty Supreme, The Secret Agent.
I think I've seen seven of the Best Pictures.
You're ahead of me.
Sinners for me is, it has to win one or the other. It has to win screenplay or movie. It's the best movie, my favorite movie certainly of the year. I sat there shocked by it. I started crying in the middle of it, and I was sobbing at the end of it.
Wow.
And I walked out, and like when I walked out, I felt embarrassed because I finally composed myself, and I go to walk out, and the cleanup dudes walk in, and the guy goes, "What did you think?" And I started to tear up again, and I go, "That's a miracle." I said that movie was
amazing. Nice.
It's. The levels it works at, the six, seven, eight different deep levels it goes through, where, you know, the Irish are just as treated just as poorly as black people were back in the day, but maybe not just as bad, depending on who you ask. But the Irish are the ones trying to charm them. And also, whenever good things happen for black people and they want to have something of their own, the white people come along and try to corrupt it and take it and go. And it worked on every single one of those levels for me. And then in addition, you know, Michael B. Jordan has to win. Like I keep hearing, I love DiCaprio. I loved One Battle After Another. I thought it was phenomenal. But man, Michael B. Jordan played two characters completely distinctly different from one another, and they were identical twins. Like, you knew the difference between Smoke and Stack.
What you just said is totally how I feel too. I actually think I enjoyed more the watch of One Battle After Another, but I am rooting for Sinners because on any level. The film works on every level: set design, acting, script, music is amazing. Like, I don't see how that doesn't win. Somebody said, I had a film critic on recently who said he thinks they might split and do director picture because they like both of the Ryan Coogler and Paul Thomas Anderson. But like, honestly, I don't think you can deny Sinners as much as I liked One Battle After Another.
Well, I think Paul Thomas Anderson's winning director. I don't think that's even a question. Okay. I think he's due. It's one of those things where they're like, yeah, look, man, it's his turn. But I think they split screenplay and picture between those two. That's where I think they make the divide.
We'll be right back. We'll have a couple more minutes with my pal, Mike Schmidt, after this very short break. Don't go anywhere, folks. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Something I've been wanting to tell you for a long time. It might hurt you. Hope you don't lose your mind. Oh, yeah. I was just a boy, about 8 years old.
We are talking Sinners. Zommers is spinning some major tunage tonight. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight. Welcome back, folks. We just have a few more minutes left. Let's close out a couple texts here before we get back to our pal Mike Schmidt. John in the 608 in Madison says, good evening, gentlemen. Great show as usual. So many great shows on the Schwab show. I can't count. Well, thanks, John. He says, favorite sauce. Please don't be too critical, but I love applesauce. Great with most dinners. My girls complain when I serve it too often. John continues, Zommers, you are so knowledgeable and are going to have your own show someday soon if you stick around. You listening to this, Aaron?
I am. Thank you very much. Okay. I really appreciate that.
That's our pal John Murray. You have some refreshing, unique personal characteristics that are really working for you on the radio box. Thanks for your efforts. Hope you keep on exploiting your conversational appeal and have more fun with it. Well, there you go. There's some good notes from one of our best listeners, John Murray.
Exploiting your conversational appeal. Is this AI? John, are you AI by any chance?
I met John in person. I can verify he is not AI. Jim Denny on the stream says, Jim from Appleton, Jimmy's hot sauce is an excellent, hard to find outside of Appleton. I've never heard of that. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that. Thank you for all your calls and texts tonight. Thank you to Greg Pragel, UWSP drama professor. Thank you to Norm Kopeski from Appleton Cigar and Danny Wheels for making the popcorn pick of the week. Let's get back to Mike Schmidt. We were talking Oscars.
I have a sauce recommendation before we continue.
Oh, yeah.
There's this, Google it. It's called Holy Shili, T-S-H-I-L-I, I believe.
Huh.
It's a chili oil out of New York, but it's got like everything bagel seasoning in it too. And it is ridiculously good.
Wow.
Because I started, okay. I was never a hot spice guy. And then there's this, you ever see Angry Grandma? You ever see that? The Logan Mao chili crisp? That's also great. Just Google Angry Grandma sauce. But also Holy Shili. I don't know if you can get it through like Amazon or anything, but go to their website and get it. Well worth it. You could drink it. I gave Lenny a jar. It was gone in 2 days. I'm not kidding, man. You want to drink it. It's so savory and good.
When you said that, it reminded me of a local sauce. Here in Marinette, there's a place called Blue Bike Burrito. It's been around for a few years. And there's a girl that works there, Sam, who created this jalapeno sauce. I don't know how she does it, but I said, please package this, market it, and right? I will be your biggest fan.
Yeah.
And when I go in there, occasionally they're out of it. I don't go in there that often, and I just want to turn and leave, but I don't want to be disrespectful either. But that's like, it's just dynamite stuff.
What's that bar you used to go to on Moore Park? Moore Park and Tahunga.
Starlight Lounge,
the
baby.
Starlight, right by, remember Henry? You remember Henry's Tacos?
Yes.
I would drink their sauce whenever I go, because they actually switched buildings. They're still there, but in a different building.
Okay.
And I'll go and I go, can I get 8 extra sauces? And they're like, seriously? And I'm like, yeah. And they charge me 50 cents each. And I go, if you would fill up a bottle, I would bring it. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not a hot sauce guy, but it's just, it's savory. It's so savory and good.
Hey, is there still a place out there called Uncle Andre's Barbecue? I think it's on Colfax.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I went, tell me your story, and then I got to get
that place is so great. Well, my story is we used to get takeout there on Friday nights, and it's one dude Or at the time, anyway, he had like flip flops on and socks, and he'd put his toes through the flip flop thing with the socks on, which was unsettling. But he would make the best barbecue, the shredded pork sandwiches I've ever had. And sometimes we'd call, and he'd answer the phone. And he goes, "I can't do this right now, man."
Yes,
he was so busy. I'm like, "What'd you answer the phone for?" But he just didn't care.
Their fried chicken is so good. It's like the best fried chicken for me in this area. One time, all right. So we used to order from them too. Me when I was married. And it took forever. It would take you. That was the joke. It took an hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours to get an order. But it was so good, you'd order it.
You didn't care.
And, so then, remember when Precious won for the Oscars and Monique won?
Yeah.
Best supporting. Okay, she was on Oprah's show afterwards. And Oprah used to do after the Oscars with Oprah. And there she's had Monique on. And Monique's holding her trophy. And she's like, "Hey, what did you do today to get ready? Can you tell us?" And she goes, "Well," she's talking about her hair. And she goes, "Oh, you know, I had to have my Uncle Andre's."
Oh,
and my nice. Wife at the time was watching this, and I heard it. I go, "What the?" And I walk over, and she goes, "Yeah, it's the best barbecue in California. I love it so much. It's in the valley. Look it up, Uncle Andre's Barbecue." I looked at my wife, and I go, "We will never get food from there again." Like, can you imagine now them getting orders? So, like, 2 days later, there's a line out the door, and I'm like, I'll bet none of these people get their food. It was so...
Didn't Usher own it, or was a part owner or something? His picture was all over the wall, and I thought maybe he had something to do with it.
Well, Andre was the dude, because my wife, again, ingratiated, so, "Hey, Andre," like, she knew the guy. But you could drive by there, like, at midnight, they'd be making bean pies for local churches and stuff, and for the communities. They were just... cater and they're still there. I took Lenny'd never been, and we went bananas. We ate like monsters. It was a couple years ago. It was really good. It's so good. It's still here.
It's so, I went in there and I said, I think the first time I was in there, I said, "Can I get a couple pulled pork sandwiches?" And he just looks at me and goes, "Shredded pork, man." I'm like, to this day, Mike, they're so good. I say shredded pork, and I was like, I don't care what you, I'll call it whatever you want. Cause it was so good after that. Which is
and their barbecue sauce is kind of like, it's like a Carolina tangy. But it's just so good. All of it's so good. Their sides, their potato salad is phenomenal. Cash only. They have an ATM. If you need to get money out of the ATM, it's like another $70 for a charge. You know what I mean? You just got to bring your cash. But I'll eat there every time.
It's so, so glad so we good. Started talking about this. And I'm fasting today, so my mouth is literally drooling right now. I know. All right. So, Mike, we'll circle back. But Sinners and One Battle After Another, you think – I hope Sinners kind of wins Best Direct. I think it has every element of – what a director does. So I kind of hope that wins Best Director, but I could see it winning Best Picture and Paul Thomas Anderson winning the other one. We got about 60 seconds left. Your thoughts?
I agree with you, but like I do say, I think it's Paul Thomas Anderson's turn.
Okay.
You know, he didn't get it for There Will Be Blood. He didn't get it for masterpieces. So now they're like, all right, this is the time. We got to get it. I'm very interested in supporting actor because, I thought Sean Penn was a lock. He's
so good.
But a lot of people think Benicio del Toro might win it. And there's another name, and I forget who it is. Jacob Elordi. Did you see Frankenstein?
I still haven't seen Frankenstein.
Dude, I watched it. All right, so Pat came to watch a movie. I'll do it real quick. And we're watching it. And usually we stop, we'll pause, we'll go to pause it, and we'll talk about what's happening.
Yeah.
So we're watching it. About an hour and a half goes through. None of us have said anything. So I figured he just fell asleep. So when it ends, I go, "Are you still awake?" And he goes, "That was amazing." And I said to him, and I go, "I don't know who can criticize this movie. You shouldn't be allowed. This isn't a movie.
God.
This is a sonnet. This movie should be in a museum. It's so, so great." So if
Mike
I won
Schmidt,
anything, I wouldn't be upset.
You are great, buddy. I love you, man. Thank you so much as always. And we'll
love
talk
you,
after the Oscars. Okay. Mike Schmidt, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, thank you, everybody. Thank you to Aaron Zommers. We will be back tomorrow night with a half new, half highlight show coming your way. This is Pete Schwab at Nightlight. Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.